Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauly and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
On a Wednesday night, we get going with the Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. A little bit of a short show today, actually a significantly shorter show than normal, because we'll get out of here early around 6:45 or so for St. Louis University women's basketball. The Billiken ladies in action tonight as they take on George Washington, looking to bounce back after, man, they had a great opportunity to win a road game when they last played last Wednesday. A week ago, they went to St. Bonaventure and lost a game by a couple. Still trying to get things going. 0-4-8, 10 play, 6-11 overall. They are a team under Coach Tillett that gets better as the year goes along, so maybe tonight is the night where they get things rolling. Tom Ackerman's got the call of the game, coverage at about 6:45 or so, so we've got just a little bit of time between now and then. In about 10 minutes, we're going to be joined by Steve Weiss, NFL Network Chief NFL reporter, a guy who grew up in the St. Louis area. We'll talk all things NFL playoffs with him coming up in just a few minutes. As we open up the program today, wanted to just kind of reflect upon the sports night that we had yesterday. It was for the most part, it was a really good, and not just good, but compelling sports night for the teams that people who are listening to the show are probably likely interested in. The Blues didn't play great hockey last night, but they got a great win. They got a great win because of who they played. They need to have success against Calgary. And they did last night. So Calgary right now is the team that's holding the final playoff spot in the West. The way it looks to me, I don't think I'm going out on a limb when I say this. The way it looks to me is that there are three teams in the West that are really contending for one playoff spot. Still lots of season left. Things can change. A team can go on a run and they can be part of it. But as things sit right now, like, I think the Colorado Avalanche are a solid playoff club. And I've got very little doubt that either they'll grab the final wild card spot or they'll move up in the division and one of those other teams will come down and be in the final wild card spot. Like, they could jump over Dallas and then Dallas can fall down. But either way, to me, it feels like seven of the teams are kind of in place. So this eighth team could be Calgary. They're the team that's holding on to it right now with 49 points. Could be Vancouver. They're 1 point behind Calgary. Could be the Blues. They're 3 points behind Calgary. If the Blues lose last night, they're at 7 back. They were 5 back going into the game yesterday. If the Blues lose yesterday, they fall 7 back of Calgary. At that point, again, lots of time left in the season. You go on a run. You knock down a bunch of points in a single week or a single short period of games. I get that all those things can happen. But it's 7 points back. You're sitting there going, I don't know about this. This might not be happening this year. At 3 points, you feel like, you know, you can make up 3 points in two games if the right things happen on each side. So, big win yesterday, 2-1. We'll try to hit on this on Friday. And the Blues play again tomorrow night. We'll have the countdown to opening day show tomorrow. Again, a reminder for you, Rob Serfolio doing his first broadcast interview tomorrow. So hopefully you're tuned in. We're going to be recording that tomorrow afternoon at Cardinals Nation Restaurant at about 1 o'clock if you want to stop on by and say hello to us and for that. But Blues play Calgary again tomorrow. A win tomorrow to go too straight, and the Blues historically have success against Calgary, but a win tomorrow would just be huge and would put them in almost a dead heat for that final wild card spot. So that's a really good win for the Blues. The thing I want to talk about a little bit more on Friday, the comments that were made by about Colton Parayko by Jim Montgomery. Montgomery said, you know, Parayko was the best player on the ice, talked about his impact on the game. He's the guy who scored the first goal like a minute in. Like, it's a... They've made some decisions in the past where they went all in on Parayko, and he's been around for a while now. I think the question is a legit one: has he turned a corner this year? Is he a different guy? So we don't really have so much time to get into that today. We'll try to touch on that coming up Friday on the program. So that's the Blues. Amazing wins for Missouri basketball and Illinois basketball last night. Missouri goes to number 5 Florida, gets up huge at halftime. The officials start to get involved a little bit in the second half. You're playing on the road in the SEC against a good team. You're doing all these things. And Florida makes a run. And all of a sudden, it's a 4 or 5 point game with two and a half minutes to go. And Missouri hangs on. The Tigers hang on. That is such a good win. That's one of those where you do not focus on the fact that they gave up a big halftime lead. That's one of those where you focus on the fact that they won. They found a way to hold on and win. What a great win for the Tigers. And then Illinois, what do they do? Largest ever road win in Bloomington over Indiana. Sorry, Tom Ackerman. Wow. And they're up 60-32 at halftime. What team goes into Assembly Hall and has a 60-32 lead at halftime? Putting up 60 is impressive enough. And then basically doubling up the Hoosiers, like that has not happened that many times in the illustrious history of Indiana basketball. What a win. What a great win. And what an answer for Illinois after they came up short this past weekend. The only blemish on the college basketball local scoreboard yesterday, unfortunately, was what happened with the Billikens as they end up losing 78-62 against VCU. This is one of those games where some of the details from the box score are more important than the final score. I mean, the Billikens put up 37 shots. VCU put up 72. VCU outshoots SLU 72-37. VCU, from a rebound standpoint, they got 22 offensive rebounds. That's why they outshot the Billikens, you know, 37. That was an ugly game. And here's the other side of it. Like, I'm not trying to put lipstick on a pig here. I'm really not. The Billikens stuck around in this game. The Billikens did not play well last night. Did not play well at all. And they stuck around until kind of the very end. It was a 5-point game at halftime. Even in the second half, they were in it, and VCU was able to pull away late. But that's one of those games where we were talking about this earlier today. Tom Ackerman and I were on the Gas House Gang. I'm sure they've done their film probably already. They're staying in Richmond all week. That was not a good film session, but we'll see how the Billikens bounce back. They play at Richmond coming up on Saturday. So that was your sports night. Really interesting, compelling sports night last night for sure. We've got an interesting weekend of NFL football coming up. I don't know how interesting this past weekend was outside of a game or two, but Steve Weiss is going to join us from NFL Network. We'll get his take on all things going on across the National Football League. He joins us next on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name's Matt Pauly. We're down a little early tonight for St. Louis University women's basketball. Tom Ackerman will be on the call in about 25 minutes or so. But we are honored to be able to speak right now with Steve Weiss. He's a guy who grew up in St. Louis, chief national reporter for NFL Network. You follow him on Twitter at Weiss, WYCHE89. Yeah, again, Steve Weiss joining us. Steve, thanks so much for taking some time during a very busy time for you in the middle of the NFL playoffs. How are you?
Thank you. Oh, it's all good. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I know you were there for the Baltimore-Pittsburgh game. What was the team this past weekend? Maybe it was Baltimore, maybe it was somebody else. Who most impressed you out of what you saw during Wild Card Weekend?
Wow. I mean, there were so many wipeouts.
Yeah.
I mean, just walkovers. I tell you who impressed me was Washington. Jaden Daniels, once again, in clutch play, the defense making plays when it had to make them to go down to Tampa, be the one road team to win, and to do it like they did it, you know, another just a late-game victory. You know, we'll get, that was the one close game we had, and to see a rookie quarterback show up like that with a team that's had a season none of us expected, I thought that was highly impressive.
Yeah, he's been so good this year, and it really feels like he commands the respect of his teammates as well. They don't talk about him the way they talk about rookies. I didn't know much about his makeup coming out of college. I just knew kind of his you know, what he did on the field, but this guy seems like he is checking every single box right now.
Well, look, he's kind of, you know, the so-called trend in terms of a quarterback who started a bunch of games in college, right? It's kind of the Brock Purdy effect. When Brock Purdy came in and was able to play right out of the gate when he had to come in the middle of a game, but here's a four-year starter at Iowa State. He's had 40-some starts under his belt, you know, and then you see Jaden Daniels. It's like that. Bo Nix was like that. You know, I spoke to coaches there, even during Washington's training camp. And they were like, look, we've tried to trick him with different fronts, with different coverage looks, different blitz schemes, and he deciphers it right away. He picks us apart and checks into the right play. They said that was in training camp. So the fact that he's able to, over the course of the game, decipher what teams are giving him, and at the end of games to make plays late, I mean, the trust that his teammates have in him and he has in his teammates is next level.
It's an interesting point you make, and we watch the way things are changing right now in college athletics. If you're a quarterback that can get into a really good system and play a lot of games, and you're going to make some money through NIL, do you think some of these college kids should look to the Jaden Daniels of the world and say, you know what, it makes sense for me to, you know, plant some roots here and stick around for a little bit?
It's really hard because no college players are sticking around anywhere. I mean, they're in the transfer portal, yeah. It seems like every year, but In terms of getting that experience, it won't hurt. I mean, the one thing, though, that will always have guys leaving early is just the risk of injury, right? Even though, no matter how much an NIL guy's getting, you know, with the kid in Miami, he's transferred from Georgia, Carson Beck's getting $4 million. Mm-hmm. There's not a quarterback in the NFL who's making $4 million. They're all making, you know, a lot more than that. The third-string quarterback's making $4 million a year. So, you know, the chance to go ahead and get on the clock to end up making $60, $65 million a year is always too enticing, regardless of the successes of Brock Purdy and Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix and guys like that. That's just too enticing for a young man to say, I'm going to stay another year in college.
Is there anything that we learned from the weekend where there are so many blowouts, or is this just the normal case of it's the first round of the playoffs, so you've got some matchups with some really good teams against some teams that are not as good?
Well, I mean, I think you learn that the Rams, you know, despite them being the number four seed, are an incredibly dangerous team. I mean, the way they played Monday night on both sides of the ball, especially with all of those first and second year defensive players, Philadelphia's not going to come up here and run roughshod on them like they did earlier in the season when Saquon ran for 225 yards. I think that is something that we learned. I think we learned that Baltimore is really peaking, you know, at the right time, and a team as talented as that, peaking at the right time, going up to Buffalo this weekend, that's going to be a great game. You know, we'll see about Houston. I think it's going to be real tough for them to win in Kansas City. But, you know, they seem to have gotten some things back in order after that season-ending skid that they had as well.
And this, especially on the AFC side of things, you don't have to squint that hard to see the Chiefs, the Ravens, or the Bills getting to the Super Bowl. This is not taking anything away from the NFC. I think you have to squint a little bit more when you're looking to Washington and teams like that. But, man, on the AFC side, you've got three really, really good teams that are still playing.
You really do. And because they're on a bye, we're still not talking enough about Kansas City. It's still theirs to win, right? You know, theirs to lose. I should say they have home field. They were playing great at the end of the season, you know, before they sat guys in week 18, Mahomes peaking, Kelce looks fresh. That defense, that's the identity of that team. They're healthy now. They've got Xavier Worthy back. You know, but the Ravens, again, on both sides of the ball, you know, all things being equal on paper in Buffalo, who has the home field, Buffalo's defense isn't playing as well as Baltimore's defense. But otherwise, we saw them do to Denver, the way that offensive line leaned on the Broncos. That has a chance to be an absolute classic. And I know it's going to be freezing cold. I just hope the weather doesn't factor into the game too much so we can see two great teams at their best.
We are talking with NFL Network Chief National Reporter Steve Weish. Is there any reason to be concerned that the long layoff for so many Chiefs players, frontline players, could have any type of negative impact on them?
No. I mean, Andy Reid does such a great job of, you know, having these guys ready in that way. But they're to the point, to borrow the whole Mike Tomlin cliche, the standard is the standard. Guys know what they have to do. And the fact that they've got such a good defensive team, if the offense is a little sluggish, that defense could hold it down. I mean, that is a very – I mean, again, that is the identity of their team. George Karlaftis, still Cole Jones, Nick Bolton, Justin Reed, Trent McDuffie. They, you know, Houston is going to have to play so far above its head to go into Kansas City and win this week. Not saying it's impossible, but, I mean, this is a game where Kansas City can kind of knock off any rust, get it going, still win, and be ready to absorb who's ever coming their way in the conference championship.
Was there value for the Chiefs in having that run against the Browns, Texans, and Steelers, where those games were mostly one-sided games, that they kind of got that back going after a year where they were stuck winning close game after close game after close game?
You know, that's a great question. And the bigger aspect of that is they started getting takeaways. I went into their game at Cleveland when they only had 10 takeaways on the season. I couldn't believe it. I'm like, wow, they only have 10 takeaways, this defense? Then they get four. You know, Jameis was being very kind. He was in the holiday spirit. They get four against Cleveland, and then they started racking up all these interceptions and fumble recoveries. And that's what it really, when that good of a defense starts taking the ball away, giving Mahomes short field, that's when things work. So more than the margin of victory, the fact that they were creating takeaways, I think, is really the kind of the arrow pointing up when it comes to the Chiefs.
We haven't seen the Lions since they finished out the year with that really impressive win against the Vikings, 31-9. There might not be a team in the playoffs as banged up as the Lions, but they keep winning games, and they were so impressive in that. What does give them that ability where it seemingly doesn't matter who gets injured, they just keep finding ways to win games?
Well, I mean, and especially on defense. I mean, they were beat up. Now, they've got a great secondary. The Texans secondary and Detroit secondary, all these young players, I mean, it's amazing because Detroit's not paying anybody on their defense right now. All their money's on the offensive side of the ball. But Aaron Glenn, the way he schemed up the Vikings, as aggressive as they are, they did get back their veteran linebacker, Alex Anzalone. He's their green dot, their play caller. That was huge for communication purposes. So, I mean, that's with that defense, all it has to do is be adequate. Because offensively, they've got the playmakers, and they're getting running back David Montgomery back, while Jahmyr Gibbs has just been incredible as the singular back when Montgomery was hurt. But they can scheme you with personnel groupings. If it's 3rd and 15, they're not necessarily going to throw it because they're going for it on 4th down. So the things that you have to prepare for when you are playing against the Lions, because of their personnel packages, their scheming, and the fact that they go for it so much on 4th down, is unlike you have to prepare for any other team, and that's why they stress defenses out so much.
You mentioned Aaron Glenn, and he said something in a press conference which I thought was really cool, because a lot of times defensive coaches get the short end of the stick when it comes to getting head coaching opportunities, and he was asked about his desire of being a head coach, and he said he knows as much about offense as he does about defense. He might be a defensive coach, but he knows both sides of the ball, and he's going to be talking to both sides. Are we at a point now where defensive coaches almost have to make that argument that they're good handling things on the offensive side as well?
Yes, they have to. I mean, you can have an offensive, you know, the quarterback whisperer, the offensive guru. But you can't, you know, the defensive guy, that doesn't mean anything, because what position group makes the most money? It's quarterbacks, right? You don't have a quarterback, you don't win. You can have the greatest defenses in the world, but if you don't have a quarterback, you're not going to win. So the defensive head coaches, like, let's say Mike Vrabel, right? They've got to go to show we can put our arms around the organization. We can get some organizational structure. I can coach all 53 and lead all men, and I've got a great offensive coordinator and a great quarterback coach to develop once that offensive coordinator gets hired away, if we succeed, that is exactly in the playbook for defensive head coaches as they go on these interviews or when they get jobs. I mean, they have to prove more so that they are leaders of men than offensive coaches do. Not saying that offensive coaches don't, but they will be able to say, like Ben Johnson, like he doesn't stand up in front of the room and lead guys, but he's one of the greatest, you know, play schemers we've seen over the past 4 or 5 years. Like he's who everybody wants. Teams have wanted him for 3 or 4 years, and he said no. And he's probably going to walk away this year from the Lions. But yeah, that's the argument defensive coaches have to make.
Steve Weishe is the chief national reporter. You see him on NFL Network, a guy who grew up in the St. Louis area. Steve, always appreciate the time. Enjoy the rest of the playoffs, and hopefully we can catch up with you again down the line.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
Awesome. Very good. That's Steve Weishe joining us on the program. Really appreciate him taking a few moments with us. We're going to take a break, and when we return, we'll jump into Cardinals baseball for just a few minutes before we get out of here for SLU women's basketball. Cardinals announced their international signings today, and I'd be lying to you if I told you that I can break down the future prospects of 16 and 17-year-olds. But at the same time, I think some of what happened today is notable for what the organization is trying to do moving forward. We'll discuss that coming up in just a moment on a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Starting to wrap things up on this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. We are done early as we'll get to St. Louis University women's basketball. Tom Ackerman's got the call tonight as the Billikens match up against George Washington. Here's what's coming up over the next 2 days. Tomorrow, it is the countdown to opening day show. Mike Claiborne and myself will be with you from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. We're really excited about tomorrow's show because it's going to feature the first broadcast interview with Rob Serfolio, the Cardinals' new assistant general manager for development and performance. I think that's the title. And if I don't have it right in my head, I'm pretty close to it. But he's got the assistant GM title. Here's what's exciting about this. So we've discussed, and by the way, Heim Bloom did talk to Cardinals publications. He talked to Cardinals Magazine. So if you can get a copy of the most recent Cardinals Magazine, would encourage you to do that if you want to hear more from Heim Bloom. But mostly, Bloom has been not talking to the media until he takes over in that top dog role for next season in 2026. So not that John Mozeliak cannot speak for the future of the organization. He absolutely can, and he does have a voice and a hand in directing things. But as they bring people in, these people are part of what the things are going to look like moving forward. So talking to Rob Serfolio and kind of starting to understand his baseball philosophies and things like that, I think that's going to give us a good indication of maybe some of the things to look out for here moving forward. So again, Rob's going to join us tomorrow. We're going to record the interview tomorrow afternoon at about 1 o'clock over at Cardinals Nation restaurant, and then we are going to play it back in pieces during the countdown to opening day show tomorrow between 6 to 8. Expect to have him for about 30 minutes or so, so we should be able to touch on a good number of topics with him, and looking forward to do that. Cardinals announced today the signing of 12 international players for the 2025 period. And look, these kids are 16 and 17 years old. Most of them are 16. Of the 12, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 of the 12 are 16 years old. The rest of them are 17 years old. See, it is going to be a while till we see any of these guys. They all come from Latin American countries, represented the Dominican Republic, Venezuela, Mexico, Nicaragua, and also Panama. So what's notable about this? First off, I and many others have argued that the Cardinals need to do a better job in international markets. That's an area where you can spend a few dollars and you can get potentially some very exciting talent. Now, you're going to miss more than you hit. That's why you signed so many of these guys. And again, they're 16, 17 years old. You're going to plant them at your Dominican Academy for a while. There are many of these players that we talk about today, of the 12, Look, some of these guys may never even step foot in the United States. They may wash out of the Dominican Academy. That is a thing that does end up happening. But there are some interesting names. Dominican outfielder Royal Strope. He is the son of former Cubs closer Pedro Strope. They gave him $1.4 million. That's a good chunk of change to give to a 16-year-old. That's a heavy investment right there. Venezuelan shortstop Miguel Hernandez is somebody who was also brought in. He's got a very good reputation. Juan Rojano, I hope I'm saying his last name correctly. He is from Panama. He is a catcher. $750,000 given to him. That is, according to Baseball America, likely the top bonus this year for any player from Panama across all of minor league, across all of Major League Baseball. So it's just a little bit of a glimpse on the money that's being spent and the commitment to it. Of the 12 players that they sign, five of them rank in Baseball America's top 100 for this year's international signing class. It's good. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that this is the future of the organization. Everything's going to be good because of this. But it's an area that I do want to see the Cardinals continue to beef up a little bit. And I think some of what we saw today is a good sign. When you're giving $1.5 million to a player, when you're paying somebody from Panama, the most of any player from Panama, like there's some signs there that it's good. Again, I don't know much about these players. We're hoping to get somebody on the program later on this week that can maybe enlighten us a little more about what things do look like and when we might see some of these guys and what the upside is on some of these 16 and 17-year-olds. But stuff like this matters. This is how you build a team. This is how you build a franchise. You got to hit check all the boxes, and I think that's part of what they're doing here. All right, we've got St. Louis University women's basketball coming your way this evening. Don't go anywhere. Tom Ackerman's got the call next here on KMOX.